Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Hey guys, gals, and non-binary pals, this is Southpaw's episode 448, the Imperial Mexican Biscotti Cake Break, brought to you by beer. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf, and I never thought I'd be brought to you by beer.
Well,
I don't really drink beer.
Not really. I mean, I don't either, but I've had this bottle that my friend Spazzy gave me like last Christmas sitting in my fridge. And since we're recording late, we're probably going to watch a movie after this. I figured, hey, I can drink this and try it. It is a ale with coffee, cinnamon, almonds, cocoa nibs, vanilla, and habanero peppers. It is a 10.5.
Can I have a sip of it? Because every time a fucking beer claims to have, like, so many flavors, it just tastes like beer to me, like, really bitter and nasty.
Well, that one you can definitely taste the coffee, and it has the burn of the habanero. And it's probably not to your liking.
Yeah, that's not to my liking at all.
I like my beer black as night and extremely, extremely dark. Very heavy stouts. I figured, hey, tonight's a perfectly fine night to crack it. It's been a long-ass week, and here we are recording on Friday night because adulting got in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to finalize a book for MFF.
Yep. Tieran and I have been working hard, like, every night this week doing the final layouts and stuff for our new releases for FurFest. Part of the reason we're in a rush to do it and place our final orders is because our printing company goes into their holiday mode on Monday, where they stop offering 1-day and 2-day production times, and their normal 5-day production time goes up to 13, just because of the massive amount of volume that they get prior to the holiday season.
Panther's stuff goes into code freeze, so he can't do anything. And in fact, like, they don't give a shit. He's taking the next week off. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But also, his manager just sent everybody home early today because they're like, well, code freeze. There's nothing y'all can do here. Go home.
Huh.
They're salaried, so doesn't fucking matter to them. Tis the season, y'all. Black Friday is in a week from this recording.
Yeah. Wow.
I still got to get my list together to give to Shiva because she's my purchaser for Fiesta.
Mm.
That's where most of the gaming department stuff comes from. Yeah, it's been a long week, and it's like you were saying, Fuzz, it's like you're feeling all right. It's an okay week. There's not a huge amount of shit going wrong in your life, even if the world is on fire, as it always is.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, this week's been pretty all right, you know?
It's like, just very long and very draining on me physically because I've had to wake up earlier for work because my hours shifted this week, and just for a week and a half. But I've also been working all night at home on layouts, and then ending up staying up too late some nights, like finalizing and tweaking things or last minute changes come in. And so, like, one night I got like 6 hours of sleep, and I know that probably sounds like whining to a lot of people that always get that little sleep, but I seem to need like a really full sleep or I'm no good.
Yeah.
Today I actually took a 5-hour energy at work because when I got to work this morning, I was still just feeling so fucking tired. Even after a cup of coffee, I was still like, I can't focus on shit. I just feel exhausted. So I went down to the convenience store and bought a 5-hour energy drink.
You don't normally do that.
No, I don't.
This week, that was how it was last night. We had those storms roll through. Mm-hmm. So Adam was flipping out and demanding to be let in to hide in the closet at fucking 4:30 in the morning. So he woke both of us up because he's normally asleep on the bed, but the storms come rolling in. He hops off the bed and starts knocking on the bathroom door so he can hide in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And I, being a fool who didn't look at the weather, didn't leave the bathroom door open just in case he needed to go hide.
Right.
We have to make sure that we accommodate our son whenever he needs to go hide from the scary storms.
The drizzly, stormy weather yesterday and today kind of took me by surprise. Like, I hadn't known that we were expecting bad weather again, and I checked my weather app every day just in case to see, make sure that I dress appropriately, or if there's a high chance of rain, that I bring my umbrella.
Yeah.
And I looked, I was like, fuck, okay, there's a 40% chance of rain right when I will be waiting for the train. So,
yeah,
you know.
I got to double check with my parents because I'm supposed to go out to Fort Worth here on Saturday and help them do yard stuff some more. But it's supposed to be like 49 to 57 tomorrow. Might be a little cold.
Yeah.
But
we'll if you're moving around and working in the yard, you'll definitely stay warm.
Well, and this has been the Gray Muzzle 6 minutes. We're old and tired and adults and being like, work and yard work and all sort of shit. Though my parents have gotten some good news lately.
Yeah.
Their house stuff. Apparently they got some folks in their church that are really going to be lending them a hand, which will take a lot of burden off my back.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I can do only so much.
Yeah.
But they actually, I hadn't called them because I'm bad, but they contacted me this week and I'm like, oh, hey, we got some good news. How do you feel about this? I'm like, that's some good news. Cool.
Yeah.
It's like offering assistance that I physically couldn't do, and material assistance that I couldn't afford. Mm-hmm. So, wow, it's like a church getting together to do what they should do to help the less fortunate members of their membership. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I hope they follow through. So it's like, where should we start this week? Because we've got some good news. We've got some furry news. We've got some Prince Andrew apparently is a pedophile news.
That's been sort of known for a while, but it's just very recently that now he's officially stepping down from all royal duties, like won't be making like public appearances or anything like that as part of a royal family. And it's like, yeah, I guess the heat of, hey, one of your family members is a pedophile, you're gonna do that, anything about that, kind of finally got to them.
It's like, well, he can no longer refer to himself as Prince Andrew. It's just a symbol. It just means pedophile. Because, he made a lot of questions.
Was it a lowercase p or something?
I guess. Making all these comments about Jeffrey Epstein, like, oh, I just stayed with him because it was convenient. And I don't know this 17-year-old that I fucked, apparently.
Dude, like, that's on the old side.
Yeah.
Like, apparently Epstein had, like, 14-year-olds, like, sex slaves or some shit.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, still, but he's an old-ass crusty dude who shouldn't be fucking anybody, probably, and then definitely nobody under age 18.
Yeah. I'm not saying, fucking a 17-year-old is good.
Well,
I'm just obviously sort of like, that's significantly less bad than the 14 and 15-year-olds they were apparently trucking in for some of their underage sex parties.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't even know if 14's the youngest. Like, I think I heard read 14 in an article about him or something. But.
Yeah. I mean, Epstein and the elite are a bunch of fucking disgusting creeps, and money gets them anything they want, including children. So, you know.
Yeah. So I guess people, when they have so much money and after they've bought all the yachts and planes and the bigger yachts that hold smaller yachts, like a Russian doll yacht, and can have planes on it, and they're just like, what else should I do? I've done all the drugs, I've bought all the expensive things, I own 27 homes.
Let's traffic in human misery.
Yeah. I think you get to a point where you're just so fucking cut off from being a normal human. Like, if you're hanging out with all these people who are as grossly wealthy as you are, and they start developing appetites for just more crazy shit because they can afford it, apparently.
Yeah, it's like, oh, the regular pleasures of the world bring me no joy because there's no barrier to them. Therefore, I must embrace the taboo.
Yeah.
And in this case, the taboo was kids. Don't do that, kids.
Yeah. Don't do that, billionaires, we should
exactly
say.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, you're right, because
because kids should be fucking kids. I mean, you know, like teenagers.
If you're, you know, a billionaire weirdo, that I don't know why it's so common. It just seems very, like, if you have enough money, you're going to be, you are involved in some sort of sex scandal.
Yeah. It's crazy, like, when you, looking at the news, like, your three biggest categories of pedophiles are billionaires, Catholic priests and conservative Republicans.
Yeah, and all three of them are very much detached from normal society and reality. So, I mean, it makes sense, I guess.
Like, all the people trying to defend Roy Moore because he was creeping on teenage girls back in the 80s were like, well, it was a different time. And I'm like, it was the 1980s, you know, not the 1680s. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are some plenty of old songs that are very questionable. It's like, yeah. She's 16, she's beautiful, and she's mine is a line from some old oldie song they used to play on the radio.
Oh, wow.
Or she's 15. It's some not 18. But it was like a love bop written in the 60s or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, so again, like, people were writing questionable songs and lyrics many, 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 many years ago. So it's not a big surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But also, speaking of Epstein, apparently the guards that were supposed to be guarding are now facing federal charges because they let someone kill Epstein.
You know, I've been listening to like some different podcasts and some different takes on that, and like apparently the other autopsy, like the quote that came out about this is more attributable injury to homicide than suicide has been sort of kind of overblown a little bit. It's like, I think they're legally required to write that normally this injury would be acquired by homicide, but I'm starting to think that he did kill himself, but there was a very clear setup around him that put him into a position where he was able to. Like, they took him off of suicide watch when he was clearly suicidal, because he'd attempted previously, if I recall correctly, right? Like, 6 or 8 months prior to that, he'd attempted, so he was on suicide watch. They took him off of suicide watch, and the guards were deliberately not paying attention. The guards that were supposed to be watching him to make sure he didn't kill himself. And there was other things too, apparently. So, like, I'm kind of now leaning more towards he probably did hang himself, but there was a lot of institutional reasons.
He was still enabled to do so.
He was enabled. That was what I was looking for. He was enabled by the institution around him to do that, where if they had really been treating him in the correct manner for someone who was considered suicidal, he wouldn't have been able to achieve that. And I'm not saying that, like, I'm not glad he's dead or anything, you know, I'm just kind of like, he was helped. Not physically, but he was helped.
Like, I wish he wasn't dead just so that he could hang these other people out to dry. But then he would be, like, double dead by now if he had. Because billionaires, you know, we're talking about they can do anything immoral they want. They would totally had him whacked if he didn't kill himself.
Yeah.
Like, one way or the other, Epstein knew his life was over. So the pedophiles he had in his little black book are still sort of protected. And only some people, like Prince Andrew here, are facing any sort of scrutiny for the fact that they showed up in the flight logs.
Mm-hmm.
Or showed up at his house and stayed there for 3 weeks, just, you know, hanging out as princes do at the houses of billionaires, smoking pounds of meth and fucking anything that moves.
They can afford better drugs than meth.
True. But sometimes, you know, they just want to slum it.
Tonight we'll smoke crack instead of doing lines of cocaine.
Oh, so plebeian.
Oh, God, the whole crack cocaine thing in the drug war and everything is so fun. Sorry, I've been listening to that fucking show You're Wrong About again, and, like, yeah, it's really insightful, horrifyingly depressing. It's like a less funny dollop because they're not
trying to be funny.
They're not comedians. They're not trying to be funny. They're two writers who write nonfiction pieces. One writes for the Huffington Post, and one was working on a book about the Satanic Panic. And
God, that
might be
that
the same person.
That whole genre is so just the Satanic Panic stuff. If you want to go down a ultra deep rabbit hole, like, dig into that and dig into, like, the West Memphis 3 and all this bullshit. Like, last podcast on the left did a West Memphis 3 series.
Yeah.
Like, the sheer bullshit that was being pulled in the late 80s with this recovered memories nonsense, it is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are some deeply stupid times.
That sort of implies we're not living in deeply stupid times.
Oh, no. We just have different deep stupidity.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we have God. I'm trying to think what would be like an applicable thing.
Like, a lot of people have been trying to compare the current impeachment to Watergate, which I understand why they would want to, because he was going to be impeached. But I've seen other takes from reporters that are like, what Trump is doing is actually like way worse than what Nixon was doing. Like, he's broken more laws that are a lot more serious than the reason Nixon resigned from the fucking presidency, you know, and this asshole's still president.
He's going to cling on until they literally drag him out of the office.
There is a really amazing clip of a congressman from, I think, New York interviewing one of the people who's basically flipping on Trump. Gave apparently like a real bombshell testimony where he just threw everybody under the bus.
Sondland?
Yeah, that's the guy they're interviewing. But the congressman was like, here's the question I'm asking very plainly. Who would stand to benefit from an investigation into the Bidens? And the guy says, I would assume President Trump. And the guy goes, there, that wasn't hard, was it? And he's kind of chuckling. And the guy, Sondland, gets all pissed off and is like, I don't appreciate how you're reacting because I've been very candid with you. And he's like, okay. I am glad that you are being candid with us now. But this is the third time you've been here. Remember your first testimony? That didn't go so well, did it? And he basically fucking spanks this guy on national TV is the description I saw of it. As he basically just calls him out. Is like, don't give me that I'm being candid and cooperating bullshit. Because you were here twice before. And I appreciate what you've said today. But it took us a lot to get to this point. You know? It was just like, goddamn, I'm glad that Democrats finally seem to be growing a spine. Like, I'm going to vote for Democrats because they're a party that aligns a lot more with my political beliefs. But I've always had a problem with them. Like, they have reputation for being a spineless party, and it is very well earned, in my opinion. And it's really amazing to see some of the Congress people actually fucking stepping up. There's a congresswoman from California, I don't remember her name, unfortunately, but she's had like 3 or 4 occasions now where she's been questioning somebody on one of these panels. She was the one that was interviewing Ben Carson, and she asked him about REOs, the real estate term, and he thought that she said Oreo, and she's like, no, I'm not asking you about the fucking cookies. She didn't say that exactly, but she gave him this look like, seriously, dude, you're the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, you know? This is like a standard real estate term that, like, I don't know because I'm not in the real estate industry, but as the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, he should fucking know what an REO is. But another person...
Katie Porter.
Thank you. Another person that she interviewed was the CEO of some big company. It was Wells Fargo. It was after Wells Fargo pulled all that shit a year or two ago, or maybe like 10 years ago. I don't know. This has been a really long year.
Remember 2016? That was 20 years ago.
No, we're still in 2016.
Fuck.
Yeah, remember.
2016 never ended.
2016 never ended. 2017 and 18 are like a myth we tell our children about. And 2019 is some far-flung future that we may never see.
And 2021 is where the C-Lab's set.
That's right. Yeah, beneath the surface lies the future. Plus C-Quest. But anyway, I'm sure they're around the same time frame. But anyway, this guy is saying that we've made all these promises and to the consumers, and we're doing all we can to regain their trust. So then she pulls out this information that apparently their lawyers at some other hearing or something like that, I guess for their shareholders or something, had said on the record how consumer confidence meant jack shit to them, and all they were trying to do was basically placate so that they could make shareholders more money. And she not only like quoted this, she held up a fucking big printout of the actual quote highlighted from their attorneys and were like, why are you saying this today when this is your team that are acting on your behalf said this a week ago? And of course the guy is like, well, we'll talk to our lawyers and make sure that, you know, they're saying what our actual policy is. Long story short, the guy resigned as CEO 2 weeks later.
Nice.
She, Porter, literally questioned this guy out of his job. And I'm like, fucking A, let's do that to all of them, you know? Yeah. And I don't know, for all I know, the New York congressman and Congresswoman Porter, they may have always been like this. They may have always been tough questioners and stuff. But in my mind, like, the person I really thank for seeing a lot more of these really holding their feet to the fire type of interviews with conservatives is AOC, because like she's from this completely different generation that came in there, knew her shit, and fucking goes at these people with facts and logic, frankly, and and all this information that she has. And maybe she's finally shown older career politicians that it's okay and a good thing to actually push these people and to stop taking their bullshit lying down and just let them say some political puffery and flounce away and get away with whatever they want to get away with. Like, I kind of feel like she has enough guts that she's literally lending them to other congresspeople so that they can grow some spine. I know those two bodily functions are not related, but in my mind, it works. Yes. In my very strained metaphor here. Anyway, I love AOC, and I really want to see a day when she rises to higher offices.
One can only hope.
Also, Bernie said that if he is elected president, he looks forward to working closely with her in the White House. Like, he wants to kind of bring her in, you know? He's like, you know, she's the next generation and they have good ideas, and we need to have that at the table.
I mean, the folks like her and Lee Carter in Virginia, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, you know, those folks, they're younger than us, the folks that are recording this. And so, like, they're out there, they're dealing with the same shit we dealt with, if not, like, slightly differently, and therefore have a much different perspective than a lot of these fossils that are in office. And so, like, she just goes for it, as opposed to beating around the bush and being like, I say, the distinguished gentleman from Kentucky, Mr. McConnell, does not resemble one bit a turtle. He looks like an ugly pig. I mean, you know, stuff like that. So I can...
Come on, man. There's no reason to go there. He's not a cop.
Yeah. And pigs are good, useful creatures, and they're delicious. Whereas I assure that Mitch McConnell is not.
A pack of pigs could consume a human carcass, including the bones, in about 10 minutes.
See? Pigs are useful.
Yep.
So,
this is me quoting from the movie Snatch, where the guy is complaining why it is not, is a guy is explaining why he has a pig farm, and he's like, hence the term, hungry as a pig. And he's just looking at the other guy's like, what the fuck is he talking? Oh shit, he's gonna feed us to pigs, to 30 to 50 feral hogs.
Oh no. So earlier this week also, Chick-fil-A, they made a vague promise that they were going to say, actually, no, Fuzz, do not show me your boobs.
No, you took your hoodie off. So I was like, oh, are we getting undressed slowly in front of each other? Let me start taking my shirt off.
Nipple. Well, this beer that I'm drinking has habanero peppers is one of the ingredients. And therefore, it's very spicy. Even if it's not spicy on the tongue, it's spicy on the back end, so I'm feeling very warm. Mm-hmm. Also, it's a fucking 10% beer, which is very strong. So I'm, like, feeling it, and I'm barely halfway through the bottle. So this might live in your fridge for a little while, maybe.
So Ajax and I went out to the hookah bar tonight, and we're smoking the hookah with CBD.
Yeah.
And we're both like, I'm lying back. I'm like, oh, so relaxed. And he's like, oh, I smoke too much of that. And he's like, hey, Fuzz, what do you call two lightweight who walk into a hookah bar? And we looked at each other and we both said at the same time, us.
Yeah. So, Jesus Chicken.
Yes, yes. Go back to the Jesus Chicken story.
They got in the news briefly by a claim. They were like, oh no, we're totally going to stop donating to anti-gay organizations. Mm-hmm. Now, this is Chick-fil-A. We know they're full of shit.
They've said this before.
And no matter how delicious their chicken may be, you really ought not to support them in good conscience. Because there's better chicken out there. It's just pickle brine. You can make your own goddamn chicken fried chicken just like that. Real easy. Go online. There's recipes. But they made a statement that they were going to stop donating to anti-gay groups like the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which are both anti-gay organizations, despite their, you know, Salvation Army. Oh, we do shit, but we also kick trans people out of our shelters and let them die in the cold. We campaign against marriage equality, etc., etc. We have a weird paramilitary hierarchy in our side of thing, and we're this weird Christian group off to the side. Like, they do this philanthropy and shit, but they're also weird conservative Christians, and that's why you shouldn't give them any money when they're ringing their bells outside of whatever, either. Like, don't be rude to the people ringing the bells. They're contractors, but don't give them money. You know, give your money directly to a homeless person. You might use it for something useful like a beer or drugs if they can somehow find $5 drugs. But that got...
Man, that's my new store idea. $5 drugs.
Hey, you know, they've got Five Below. Be like Five High.
Five Blow.
Oh, there we go.
Really, really short lines of cocaine.
Yeah, it's just like a quarter pinky. Like, you just like, you, $5, yeah. You dip your pinky nail in. That's it.
We're probably greatly underpricing the actual price of cocaine. I bet you that's a lot more, but...
I have no idea.
It's an amusing image.
Yeah. Well, it was very amusing for like 24 hours to see the sheer amount of conservative screaming on Twitter and the like of, you've given in to Satan, and people like, you got your 30 silver coins, that won't buy you into heaven.
God. Or you've fallen victim to the social justice outrage mob.
The gays won't give you money, and now I won't give you money either. And so 24 hours later, like, no, actually, we are totally going to back... we're going to start giving money to them. Yeah, we hate the gays. Mm. It's like the drill tweet, you know, turning the big dial that says bigotry and looking at the restaurant, at the audience like a member of the Price is Right, you know? It's like, gotta get the dial at just the right spot where the most number of people will give them money.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if you really need chicken sandwich, apparently the Popeyes one is really good.
I haven't tried it yet. But
I haven't either, but there's like...
Apparently there's like hour-long waits at some of the Popeyes right now because...
Well, there's only two Popeyes anywhere near us.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one up by the Sad Whataburger, and there's one way south of 635, which you go south of 635, that's the fucking moon to us, right? You know, you have to go out of your way to get these chicken sandwiches, so I haven't done so.
You know a way to do it? Probably be like DoorDash or Grubhub if they're on there.
Yeah, probably.
It'd be like, I'm not going to wait in line.
I'm going to let someone else wait in line.
Yeah.
But the Chick-fil-A for 24 hours was double Satan to the Christians, and then they backed it out, and people haven't like gone back on what they said, but also it's not like a trending topic.
I think what they, because this recent wave of issues started because they opened one in Britain somewhere, and there was like a big outrage about it, and they ended up closing the restaurant. Although apparently there's been a Chick-fil-A in another part of Britain for years, and I guess it just didn't make the news or whatnot. But I think they're trying to maybe expand internationally or something like that, and so they have to kind of they have to dial down some of their extreme beliefs to be more palatable to the much less shitty countries that they're hoping to open restaurants in. But the backlash from their core base was so strong that, like, yeah, maybe you'll sell chicken in London, but you're not selling it in fucking Arkansas anymore, you know?
And it's so weird that a company has to, like, dial their bigotry in just correctly so that they can maintain business operations here in the U.S., but also do it abroad, where in the EU, in Europe in general, they're kind of like, in Western Europe, it's like, whatever, gays. But that, like you said, that one that opened recently, they had, like, a six-month trial store, and the shopping center was like, actually, nah, we don't want you guys here. Never mind.
Yeah. And honestly, even just looking at not looking at it from a moral standpoint, looking at it from a pure business decision, from that shopping plaza's perspective, they're getting shitloads of protesters showing up in front of this restaurant. And that is going to fuck with the business of all the other companies in that shopping plaza.
Oh, yeah.
So they're probably getting complaints from their other tenants that are like, hey, this restaurant being here and all of this disruption is causing my fucking sales to suffer. So from a business perspective, getting rid of a really like bad faith actor like that and all the havoc that they're causing is the right move.
Yeah. If it can be the best serviced, tastiest chicken sandwich you ever had, but if you care more about the queers, you don't support them. It's real that simple. Mm-hmm. And you vote with your wallet. I mean, and us, queers and leftists and furries and whatever, if we don't eat at their stores, well, there's still lines around the block. But that doesn't mean that your personal boycott of them doesn't affect their bottom line. It's just like, they don't have your money. You can spend that money elsewhere. You can buy, you know, Whataburger or anything else.
Yeah, they'll have like their big straight pride event where like a bunch of conservatives show up and it's massively busy. And that will happen occasionally, but like, it's not like their business is skyrocketing every single day. You know?
I hear their business on Sundays is just in the toilet. They don't sell a thing.
Didn't Popeyes actually poke fun at them in a way?
They brought back their chicken sandwich on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You're like, yo, you can't get that chicken sandwich today? Well, come get ours. I think that Sunday they re-released it, there was a line like 30 cars deep at the one I saw.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the one up near us. It was that one in South Fort Worth because I was going there for that makeup class.
Mm-hmm.
So it was down that side of town. But
yeah,
they had a big old line. And remember, every time Chick-fil-A is in the news, remind yourself that they're not the ones financing ISIS or buying ancient Syrian relics for creepy Book of Revelations reasons like Nazi cultists and Indiana Jones. That's the yarn store.
Yeah.
AKA Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby, yeah.
Yeah. They're the ones smuggling artifacts from the Middle East, not Chick-fil-A.
I only ever heard the headline on that. I didn't actually hear any of the details of what they were actually doing in full.
Basically, they got a lot of artifacts that had been looted from museums in the Middle East, and they were getting like Syrian religious artifacts and Northern Iraqi religious artifacts and that stuff. Basically anywhere that ISIS was controlling, they were looting and or destroying every artifact they could.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were buying them. They were
smuggling. So it's a Christian company. They wanted to basically get all the Christian artifacts so that they wouldn't be destroyed.
Yeah.
But
they were funding ISIS.
They were funding ISIS.
Yeah. They were buying it, and the money was ending up in ISIS coffers.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right.
And that was like a scandal for 2 weeks, and then it went away because our world is a hellscape and time is a circle. So whatever happens, unhappens just as quickly because it's always some new horror in the news.
Tieran has this t-shirt, has a 50s-style drawing of a woman crying on the front and a text that says, I'm fine. And on the back of the t-shirt, it has in little brackets in Trump adjusted terms.
Oh, God. You know, it's like, get one of those shirts like, don't fuck with me, I will cry. Or the alternative, don't fuck with me, I'll fuck back.
Yeah. I love the ones that are where someone says, fuck you, and the response is like, fuck me yourself, you coward.
Exactly. Oh, God. So here's some unfortunate furry-related news. So in, where is this?
Was it Missouri or something?
City of Monroe.
Okay.
It's in Toledo. I think it's in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So in Ohio, Simba Lion, who is a very furry name and is a furry apparently had themselves a rent dispute with their landlord and was a gun-toting type and shot two cops. And also ended up massively shot up themselves. And it was one of those stories where a gun-toting gray muzzle furry got themselves in the news by getting shot and shooting cops. It's like, what the fuck, y'all?
And of course, because he's white, he was not killed.
Well, he is in critical condition. As of noon, when this article was last updated on the 20th. The suspect in yesterday's shooting has been identified as Simba Lyon, born in 1979. The suspect remains at Mercy St. Vincent Medical Center in Toledo, Ohio, in critical condition. The names of these officers are not being released at this time. The investigation is ongoing. The story is like, two Monroe police officers and a man were shot Tuesday morning during an alleged dispute between a landlord and a tenant in an apartment building on Washington Street. One of the wounded officers was released from the hospital midday, the other released soon afterwards. Each suffered a gunshot wound to the leg. Their names had not been released. The suspect currently was shot multiple times by the officers returning fire. He was taken by ambulance to St. Vincent Mercy Medical Center, Toledo, for treatment, where he remains in critical condition. He is being treated for life-threatening injuries, as one would expect after being shot a bunch by the cops. This is just one of those very unfortunate reason to have a furry in the news, is like, you know, they shot cops and were shot by cops over a rent dispute. But unfortunately, this guy apparently has a history of mental issues and whatnot, because you tweeted about this and got a reply that you put the reply to in your thing, basically from someone going by the name Krim. For the record, this is somebody who was once a good friend who hung out with our group fairly regularly. Unfortunately, a combination of drugs, mental illness, and an unwillingness to do anything about either meant we parted ways. Pretty sad to come to this. And this is definitely one of those where, you know, damn, it would have been great if this person could have gotten medical care and gotten themselves treated, because this guy apparently is he's 40 year old. He has a legal name change to Simba Lyon. So he's obviously a very long time furry who was definitely furry enough to have the money to do a name change to Simba Lyon post 90s. And so this dude just showed up in the news, and it's like, damn, that's extremely fucked up. That one, apparently this guy was a real gun fan and had apparently written quite a few very sketchy posts on Fur Affinity under his blog, which I don't know if it's still there or not by now, but he
probably had, I mean, he's in the hospital. He hadn't had time to delete anything.
Well, no, I mean, sometimes when furries get involved in the news, the FA admins will hide an account.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's weird. It's unfortunate. It's sad. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, the availability of mental health care in this country sucks ass, and this guy, you know, is ended up in this real bad situation because of it. Also, the whole, you know, choosing to have a gun and shooting at cops, which is never a good idea if you want to continue living. The fact that he's even alive as of the article that I posted is surprising, because, you know, they will just unload everything at you, and the fact that he only ended up in critical condition is, again, kind of surprising.
Like I said, he's white.
Yeah, you know, because other countries have this health insurance, and finding a way to bridge this into another related thing, relating to books now.
Oh, okay.
You know, there was a question, let me find the person's name, they were like, why are so many authors Canadian?
Oh, yes.
Because they have healthcare and the ability to get their shit seen, as opposed to, well, here in the U.S., if you're a writer and fall sick, well, you'd best do a GoFundMe and hope you're well-liked enough, because there's the tweet specifically from Tobias S. Bucknell. It was like, I was at a panel where Mercedes Lackey started rattling off names of authors who died from lack of health insurance she knew.
Holy fuck.
It was so wild and sad. And that itself was a quote tweet saying, not in the last 5 years, but I know two people who died from the U.S. healthcare system from untreated tooth infection, and one who had a curable brain tumor if they'd had insurance. And the reason I don't know anyone in the last 5 years, because of Obamacare. But
yeah.
The up thread thing is like, I'm reminded of an author panel where Canada has health insurance was brought up as a possible answer to why there is a disproportionately large number of Canadian authors compared to the U.S. Where it's like, if you don't have to count on a partner or being independently wealthy to be able to afford to make your shit, you know.
Also, mental health care, you know, so that you're not like constantly racked by anxiety and depression and unable to do any creative projects because of it.
Yeah.
Because mental health care is just as important as physical health care for the rest of the body.
Our healthcare system only covers like physical ailments at most, and not even then. Like, we don't have our dental coverage is like somehow completely separate because our luxury bones are just that, luxuries, as opposed to our regular bones.
Yeah.
And our mental health care is like, well, we don't want to worry about the brain meat. We want to worry about the meat. And the unluxury bones.
It's strange. I hate it when something comes up where it's like, you should really see a therapist. That would really help you out. I think you need to talk about it. And the response is, I can't afford it. And it's like, yeah, because there are some municipalities that have free mental health care, but they're usually greatly understaffed, and it's a hell of a wait time to even be seen. And that's only if you're pretty much in a major metro area.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have that in a lot of like the smaller towns and everything. So
basically, hey, Bernie Sanders and his Medicare for All, that means Medicare for All and not, you know, Warren's backing off of it and everybody else's big shoulder shrug. Like, this is why we support this shit.
Yeah, I have to say,
Medicare for All, he means for all.
I was very much into Warren, but like, she's said a couple of things lately where I've been kind of like, that's not that great, you know? I
mean, she's a hell of a lot better than Biden.
Yeah, absolutely. But
he's a fucking ghoul. They need to fix his model up. It's falling apart. He's like a badly textured Quake mob or something, you know?
Did you see the picture of Glenn Beck recently where he looks like a Colonel Sanders?
Yeah, fashy Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. He's
literally spouting anti-Semitic talking points. Literally Soros as a puppet master, which is a trope that dates back to like the fucking Nazis. There's this propaganda illustration of a characterized Jew puppeting the Russians and the United States.
God. Wow. Yeah.
It's like, wow, your mask is completely off. I mean, he's not on TV anymore. He's all on the net. So he just kind of does whatever, and people buy his Patreon and his boner pills and his brain juice, you know?
Yeah. And, I saw an interesting article recently. It was talking about how, like, the extreme hateful right have started to eat their own. Like, apparently, Donald Trump Jr. has been on a book tour with a representative with him, and like, he's been getting booed and jeered and stuff like that because I guess he's doing some shit that they don't agree with. I don't know. I mean, they're like, they're all for Donald Trump, but they've been giving Junior a lot of shit on the book tour. I don't actually know what the reasoning is behind it. I'm certainly not defending Donald Trump Jr., but it's just interesting to me that, like, their hate is so far out there that if you step anywhere, like, slightly left of completely bizarro town off the map, you're attacked. And someone in a political chat I'm in was saying that they think Crowder's next. Because apparently even Steven Crowder has not been as extreme as they would like. Uh-huh. And Crowder is the one that sells the, like, the $100...
Liberal tears.
It's Steven louder Crowder. With Crowder, yeah, right?
The mug club is $100 for his mug.
Yeah, and it's like...
But he's also the guy that's like, blank is blank, change my mind.
That was him?
Okay. Yeah, he set up at fucking TCU in Fort Worth to like stir shit.
But I didn't realize
it was at TCU, so it's not like you're going to get people like, you know, his stereotype, blue-haired campus SJW, because you're at motherfucking Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, Texas.
Wow. So he went to, like, a place most likely for his views to not be challenged, it sounds like. What was his change my mind about? Because I've seen so many Photoshops about, like, the world is flat, change my mind.
I think it's like, there are only two genders, change my mind, or something like that. But again, he was at fucking TCU, a Christian university in Fort Worth, Texas, the by volume most conservative county in the country. And so... You know, it was just a publicity stunt, but he, you know, made some YouTube hay about it where he, like, triggers the SJWs, which conveniently is also the name of Junior's book and 37 other Netflix specials. Like, there was image thing where it was like, who did it best? And it was like four different hack right wingers using triggered as their book title or video title or comedy special title. Or it was like, get a new fucking line, dude. On that same tack, you've got Ian Miles Chong, who's a right-winger. He was the guy who wrote for Milo's Incel Corner, and he, like...
Wait, Incel Corner.
Yes, it was... He was, like, writing for video game and Gamergate-related bullshit for Milo, Yana Banana, and until he wasn't getting paid anymore, then he stopped. But his subheading on the website was the Incel Corner. And he stepped out of line recently, and a bunch of people started attacking him for being, oh, you're going back to being an SJW, huh? When he was like, hey, this guy is a literal Nazi. And they're like, deal with it, cuck. He's fucking off in Malaysia. He's not even an American citizen. Fuck him. But, like, he stepped just... He's like, this per... Hey, you're a Nazi! And they're like, yeah, what you gonna do, cuck? You know? What was the other one? Shit.
I just have to say that the incel corner... Because they're all a bunch of fucking children. It really sounds like when a parent sends their child to the corner, it's just like, go to your incel corner. You know, sounds like you should just go stand with your face in the corner and feel bad about being an incel.
I mean, if you self-describe as that, you probably should feel bad about yourself. But, yeah, yeah. You know, the other one that there was a video that was... A MAGA group meeting at a Denny's that got their shit crashed by neo-Nazis. Mm-hmm. And this was all on video. And they're like, they're Nazis? Well, then why do they have a problem with us? Because they're, you know, a bunch of white old conservatives. Mm-hmm. But they were getting attacked by the Nazis because they weren't Nazi enough, you know? Mm-hmm. What was the other one? Like, Charlie Kirk and his Turning Point USA guys have been heckled by further right fuckers here recently, too. Uh-huh. Basically, all these useful idiots who got the foot in the door for fascist ideology, mm-hmm. both online, on campuses, wherever, getting pushed out in favor of actual, like, visibly hardcore fascists. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you were the useful tools. Well, now we're getting the real shit in here.
Right. You know? So I guess it was people that were a little bit better about not saying the quiet part loud.
And now they're just like, fuck it, loud part loud.
Right.
It's been just a weird situation to see because on one hand, let them fight. On the other, mm-hmm. this is the future they chose. You know, they're finally getting a little bit of their own medicine in that regard because, mm-hmm. you know, you're doing your fascist bullshit and making everybody upset. Well, now you're no longer the bee's knees. Well, you've been like, you're no longer the big dog. You're now the cuck, you know. Yeah. You're now the SJW that's getting pushed out, and you don't like that, huh?
You've been neutered, you cuck dog. You cuck dog incel SJW.
Fucking just, ugh.
Jesus, the terminology these days is just so...
You know, it's really fucking weird how language weirds itself. Like, the stuff that you see online that, like, you see that it's just the current fucking version of a fascist, like, mm-hmm. phrase. There's this shit with YouTube with COPPA. It's mm-hmm. a Children's Online Privacy Protection Act.
Right.
Where basically it's if you're... media or website is targeted towards children, you can't do targeted ads where okay. like it gets your data and serves ads to you based upon your viewing preferences. And this is finally becoming enforced on YouTube. Everybody's flipped the fuck out for a little bit because, oh my god, this means that animation on YouTube is dead and all this other shit. And when no, the actual reality is that no, that they're primarily focused on websites mm-hmm. and not YouTube shit. Like, I mean, YouTube did have a pop-up. I looked at YouTube briefly the other day. I'm like, hey, as a creator, you need to make sure that your shit's marked as for children or not for children. Please be sure. And I was like, my channel's not for children. Also, my channel's not in use anymore, but the videos are still up. What I kept up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're making the people on YouTube push a button and say, no, my videos are for children or not for children. Mm-hmm. But... that's a whole nother thing. But there was a dude who was like, oh, some new alphabet boys to get yeeted in Minecraft on the day of the big creeper party. And I'm like...
The big creeper party? Is this CPAC?
Well, no. It's just a repackaging of the day of the rope or the day of vengeance or the day of reckoning type thing. It's literally... It's a white supremacist talking point repackaged in fucking gamer parlance.
You just threw a bunch of terms at me that I'm like,
okay, what so
the fuck? I mean, a day of reckoning, I make sense as a word, I guess.
Basically, online fascists love to repackage their language. Like, they keep the
day
same...
of the rope, is that when they want to lynch all the yes, minorities?
They want to lynch the bad whites and all the minorities. The day of reckoning when they fight the government. The fucking... So, all that kind of stuff, but they like...
See, I thought the day of reckoning was like the biblical term, but no, it's when no, they this, fight
this
the
is,
government.
This is white supremacist
bullshit. When they use all these guns that they've been hoarding, when the government comes and takes them away.
Yeah, exactly. And like, the alphabet boys and talking like they're going to kill the FBI and the ATF and other stuff people. Like, they're going to try that.
They call themselves the Alphabet Boys for that reason?
They call them Alphabet Boys.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then, like, using the phrase in Minecraft is just the latest way to, like, faux mask a violent statement.
So what was the term for Minecraft?
The big creeper party.
Oh.
Creepers are the green monsters that explode.
Right, yeah.
So the implication, like, you have one more person to bomb when we finally get around to it. Is the implication of the phrase.
They're saying we're going to invite leftist name to the creeper party. That's the kind of thing they're saying.
So, like, this whole weird thing is basically someone on the internet repackaging, I'm going to blow you up when we get around to killing everybody. Packaging it in such a way that if you look at it without knowing what the fuck it means, it's just like, this person's an idiot.
Also making it more difficult to be charged with terrorism or something. Because if you
specifically
say,
threat.
I'm going to bomb X politician, but if you say, I'm going to invite X politician to the creeper party, it's more nuanced and it's not specific enough of a threat to be legally actionable, probably, maybe.
Well, like, there was some bullshit child that, like, was posting death threats to someone and using, like, well, I think you should get shot in the face with a shotgun in Minecraft. I was like, no, I meant that I should shoot them with a shotgun in a video game. And I'm like, there's no shotguns in Minecraft, you dork. And it's just...
So in Minecraft is sort of the no homo for terrorists?
Sure. For gamer terrorists, sure. Unfortunately, my mind is blessed with lots of dumb, dark knowledge. And so, like, you see this shit online. And this is, like, the only reason I saw that phrase is because I was looking at the replies.
You're like fucking John Constantine with this shit, man. Like, you've been to hell and learned all these dark, horrible things that are in your head now.
Well, and the reason I even saw this tweet was Boozy retweeted it.
Uh-huh.
Because he's like, look,
yeah, another person who's been to hell and learned a lot of bad things.
Who's like, you should read this as opposed to watching videos on YouTube by idiots who don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked
through. Was it
through,
the Bible?
No, it was the thing about COPPA. And it was from the specific, the FTC or whatever.
Right,
and
yeah.
Then I clicked the comments, which is always a mistake. And that was one of the comments or the replies on Twitter was the dude making the weirdly veiled terroristic threat.
I need to get like a little stress ball or something like that. And every time you say something like, I read the comments, I just throw it at you.
Honestly, man.
It's not painful, but it bounces off your forehead and reminds you of your stupidity.
It stops me. Like, I think I have a
couple.
You
can throw it back at me, too, because I've done it occasionally.
I'm pretty sure I have a couple of them, like, Parasprite stress balls lurking in my closet from the Bronyville days.
Oh, right.
That I could, like, hand over to you and be like, here, throw this at me. And then, like, then over time, they just keep reappearing and they keep multiplying, just like little Parasprites.
Mm-hmm. A triple toy would work for that, too.
There, yes.
In that case, yeah.
God. What was the other thing? Because... speaking of dumb internet lawyers, this weekend was the sanctions hearing for the Vic Lasagna thing.
Oh, right.
And
how much more money is he in debt?
Well, apparently, the statement from the judge, Judge Chupp in Fort Worth, he put a like paragraph-long reply to the counsels after the hearing. It was like a five-hour hearing on Thursday, I think. And to get the transcript would cost you $1,400.
Wow.
Greg Doucette, the anti-slap lawyer who's been covering a lot of this bullshit since it started, is done multiple GoFundMes, like people pitch in so that he can like...
Buy the transcript. Right,
for the hearing, so I can put it out there. Yeah. The judge put forth like a paragraph-long thing where it's like, I'm going to need to review some testimony, and you'll hear for me before Thanksgiving, before the legal holiday.
Mm.
So that'll becoming the actual like sanctions plus attorney fees and all that fun stuff.
Right.
Which I think we talked about like 2 weeks ago was totaling to about not quite $1 million.
Yeah.
But apparently Vic Lasagna perjured himself during the sanctions hearing, and the lawyer is going to be going back, or the judge is going to be going back and reviewing that and tack on additional bullshit because of it.
Oh my God. Yeah, you don't do that.
Especially since, and it was like the judge caught it as being perjury.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
He reviewed what was being said and was like, wait a tick. And like the stuff about him putting his house in a trust after the fact to try to shield it from judgment, even though doing so makes the house fall out of homestead laws.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to find that out by the time this next episode gets released.
I hope there's a part where the judge calls that out and it's just like, you dumb motherfucker.
It's like, You have wasted so much of my time. How could you have done such a thing? But that's just been a bit of a legal wrangling. But yeah, the only reason I saw that is like this long ass thread. It's like, oh, Boozy retweeted something into my face and I saw it and was like, oh God. But we do have some good news. We do have some good news this week where two things happened that were not terrible. And that we wanted to share this with you guys after this hour or so of content that we've provided so far.
I almost feel like it's like two things happened that were not terrible in the entire world this week.
Well, these are two news stories that I've had some good stuff.
It's sort of like I took a really good dump. That was one of the two good things that happened on the really entire planet.
I cleansed myself of all that evil. Well, no, two news stories that are good, and then I can be like, oh yeah, in Final Fantasy XIV, I got all of my crafter classes and all of my gatherer classes to 80 because I am insane. I have one...
Is that really one of the two good things that you're going to talk
about? No, that's just a good thing that I got done. It's very satisfying to be able to make literally everything in the game that can be made. Like, provided that I have the materials, I can make any item in the game now. It's really cool, but also not, like, really a good news.
Can you make happiness?
No. I can make all sorts of drugs as an alchemist, but not
Well, that happiness. Makes happiness.
Yeah. So, regarding the good news is, so Arizona, run by a bunch of fascists.
Yes.
And the Border Patrol, which is a bunch of fascists. Mm-hmm. They were trying to charge Dr. Scott Warren with felony crimes for providing food, shelter, and water and medical care to undocumented immigrants.
I read about this, yeah.
And the group No More Deaths he was part of, basically this guy provided critical help to some people who were in a bad situation, didn't like, yo, show me your ID or anything. He just helped them out. And the state government of Arizona wanted to make him a felon for the crime of being a good Samaritan in this case, mm-hmm. and basically keeping dudes from dying on the streets of Arizona.
You realize being a good Samaritan is a biblical reference?
It really is.
And it's like...
It's also really racist because it's literally like, oh, Samaritans as a people were bad, and they had the closest parallel to them as Palestinians.
Oh, wow. So
the whole biblical Good Samaritan concept is that all other Samaritans were bad, but this one was the good exception.
Holy shit. I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
That just blew your fucking mind, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know a lot more about the Bible than I do because I was not raised in that kind of environment.
But yeah, seriously, like, if you call someone a Good Samaritan, that is a really weirdly loaded term we don't think about, but when you do think about it for half a second, it's really racist.
That is like when fucking racists describe a black person they don't hate as one of the good ones.
Yeah.
It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah. But
Jesus.
But directly, like, in context, it's relating to the one person who helped a person who'd been fucked up on the road by bandits.
Right.
Like, in the biblical parable...
Wait, is this the... No, it's
okay,
not.
So
I was going to say, is
Samaritan,
this... Yeah, okay.
Jesus is telling the story of this dude who's on a journey and gets fucked up by bandits. Right. The first dude that passed by is this rich merchant. He's like, I don't want to help this guy because he'll get blood on my clothes. The second guy that passed by is a rich religious motherfucker who doesn't want to get his robes fucked up. Also, he might be unclean and I got to remain pure. And the third guy that passes by is a foreigner, a guy from Samaria, who helps him up, cleans him up, gets him to the next village, pays for him to get checked up.
Samaritan.
He's from Samaria, which is the coast of the Mediterranean, aka Palestine.
Okay.
And in this time, the Good Samaritans were very much disliked by the Jews because they were not Jews. But a Good Samaritan was implying that the rest were bad, but he's one of the good ones. So now you've got a little bit of biblical history that I'm sure someone will probably correct me on because I'm not a biblical scholar, but I just have a lot of knowledge lurking in my brain. Anyways.
Like the whole thing about, like, I'd heard about the Lot's wife pillar of salt thing for years and years, but it wasn't until like 3 or 4 years ago I saw a tweet where someone talks about the rest of that story about how Lot's daughters get him drunk and then jump on his cock so that they can become pregnant.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Why was that not the headline? Wow! Like, what the fuck?
So, going back to the story, Dr. Scott
also implying that women will get so horny that they'll jump on the only cock available, even if that's their father's. There's a lot of misogyny in the Bible, is all I'm saying. Anyway, back to Dr. Walker.
Giving back to Dr. Walker, or Dr. Warren, it's good that he didn't get convicted of anything. The jury saw straight through the fucking government's bullshit. Mm-hmm. No More Deaths is a good group of people that works out in Arizona, and they make sure that they leave food and water in the desert for people coming across the border. And CBP are the same motherfuckers who find that stuff and to film themselves pouring water out into the desert because they want people to die. But this guy provided food, water, shelter, and medical care to two undocumented people, and they went on their way, and he got arrested for it, and the jury was like, no, actually, fuck you, this is fine. No More Deaths says, this verdict is a validation of what we've always known, that humanitarian aid is never a crime. We will continue to provide food, water, and medical aid to those who need it until the day that no one dies or disappears while crossing the deserts and oceans of the world. On this day, when so many eyes will be focused on Scott, we want to send our deepest love and solidarity to Jose and Kristen and all those whose movement and survival continues to be criminalized. La Lucha Sigue. If you want to help our critical work in the desert continue, you can make a donation at nomoredeaths.org. So that was a good news. That was another, that was a good thing.
Yeah,
that happened.
Absolutely.
Fuck the fascists of Arizona, and good on No More Deaths for just doing the right fucking thing. Mm-hmm. Like, these dudes are dehydrated and dying on the road, and you decided to not let them die on the road because you're a decent fucking human being. And the other good news is that Texas has decided to not kill somebody.
That's right, yes. That's amazing, because when it comes to death row, we're the killingest state in the nation.
Yeah, so this is some good-ass news. This is from the Innocence Project. The Texas Court of Criminal Appeals has granted Rodney Reed an indefinite stay of execution, meaning he no longer has an execution date. Rodney Reed was a black man that got falsely convicted and got the death penalty for a murder that, like,
in like 95 or
it was a while ago.
It's a long time ago.
And like tons and tons of evidence came out, including like the victim's family being like, this dude didn't do it, to like try to get him exonerated and freed after being in death fucking row for 20 years or so. And like he got an execution date. It was coming up, and then international, like, the media hit and finally basically forced the state government over public pressure to actually decide, all right, fine, you got an indefinite stay of execution. We're going to figure this shit out, because Texas sure loves their executing. But basically, that this was one of those real fucked up situations where a racist DA, racist judge, racist jury railroaded this dude, even though there was all this other evidence to the contrary, and he was sat on death row for a long ass time.
And it's still a massive miscarriage of justice.
Oh, it totally is.
This guy's been in jail for 20 or more years.
Yeah, so the article starts, we just got news that the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals has granted Rodney Reed an indefinite stay of execution, meaning he no longer has an execution date. This news came just hours after the Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles unanimously recommended a reprieve of Rodney's execution. We are extremely relieved and thankful to the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals that has issued a stay of execution of our client Rodney Reed. The CCA has ordered the claims of Brady violations, false testimony, and actual innocence in Mr. Reed's case back to the trial court. This opportunity will allow for proper consideration of the powerful and mounting new evidence of Mr. Reed's innocence. There's links to the various judgments on the Innocence Project. Because, yeah, this happens a fucking lot, where they just grab a black dude off the street and railroad his ass through and like, oh, we got him, when no, they totally didn't get him. In this particular case, only caught the national attention and got the dude a reprieve. Otherwise, the state of Texas has no fucking compunction about just killing somebody just to, like, yep, we wrapped it up. The guy who got executed, was he actually the dude that did it?
So I was roughly right on the dates. I just wanted to check. The murder itself took place April 1996. He has been on death row since May 1998. So 21 years he's been on death row. He is 51. So he was 30. So, yeah, he's... I mean, he's lost a chunk of his adult life.
He lost 21 years of his life.
Yeah.
So that was some good news, because, again, there's so little of it, it seems, nowadays. It's like, oh, this massive miscarriage of justice might be averted. Like, it still has fucked this guy's life up on a permanent basis, but we might prevent it from being an ultimate fuck-up.
Mm-hmm.
So that is good. That concludes our topics for the week so far. But yeah, like, it's Thanksgiving week. We're not going to be recording next Thursday, obviously. So actually, one thing you guys could do is email us Tales of Thanksgiving Adventure to southpawscast@gmail.com. So if you have a crazy racist uncle who ruins your Thanksgiving, or if you get into a full-throated fight about socialism with your grandparents, feel free to write into the show and let us know. My Thanksgiving plans are fairly busy. I have stuff with my parents. We're going to do breakfast with them at, like, IHOP or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we have double lunches with Panther's mom and stepdad, and then dad and stepmom mm-hmm. at two different houses. Then we go to his aunt's place in Arlington and do that. And then in the evenings, I might, like, if other people are doing Friendsgivings, I might show up at a couple of those, depending on how tired I am. So my Thanksgiving round trip is going to be around 110 miles. And that's just been how it is for the past, you know, decade plus. So that and Christmas are always very family-filled and food-filled events. So hopefully you guys that are listening will have yourselves a good Thanksgiving as well. I mean, I know y'all's family Thanksgiving got disrupted. Fuzz, are y'all doing anything special for that?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, we're still doing Thanksgiving because, like, originally 17 people were coming or so, and now it'll be, like, about 14. So there's just some family members that are not able to make it this year, but we have extended family in the form of our chosen family, and they're bringing their family, and it's going to be quite a lot of people. It's going to be a very interesting mix, so it'll sure be a thing. I might add, usually when there's, like, a lot of people in the house, I hit that point of, like, socialization max. So I may hit a point where I just have to, like, go and take a nap or something.
Hey, I mean, I have sometimes done that during, oh, nice. I just saw the pic you put into the chat with Ajax, where it's just like, I'm going to go sit in my car for a little bit and just to pass out for half an hour mm-hmm. until Panther comes out. And he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I just food comaed myself briefly. Don't mind me.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you're driving. I was like, oh, right. I should wake up. I had too much pie.
Mm.
But your aunt makes so good pecan pie. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. I love pecan pie.
No, and the thing that I just went, oh, wow, linked at, it's Rukus did a fan art piece of Beastars
mm-hmm.
with Lugosi, fucking the other two characters.
Wolf, Deer, and Bunny.
Wolf, Deer, and Bunny.
And basically in her headcanon. In her headcanon, they're a poly triad.
Yo, like, everybody wants to hop on Lugosi's knot, and, like, he's oblivious, except he's fixated on Haru, and Haru's just, like, she sleeps with everybody, but she's still kind of into Lugosi, and Lugosi's into her, and, like, everybody wants Lugosi. Mm. It's hella gay, but also straight. It's poly. It's cute. And, mm-hmm. like, Volume 3 just came out in English. I picked that up.
Everyone wants to hop on Lugosi's knot.
It's not wrong.
It's amusingly phrased. It just kind of...
He's a wolf. He's the largest predator in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone's like, oh, shit, you're so big and muscular. And then Harvey's like, I want to see your penis. And it's literally a panel from the comic where she's like, in her underwear, and she's like, yo, Lugosi, show me your dick. Because she's commenting, I don't know if you've seen the second episode yet.
I haven't, no.
Okay. Because we had somebody that very generously found us pirated versions of the first 5 episodes.
Oh.
And, like, at the end of the second episode, Haru's, like, feeling Lugosi up, and she's like, oh, wow, the fur down here matches your fur on your face. That's really interesting. And he's like, oh, my God, what the fuck is this herbivore doing? Oh, my God, get away from me. Like, he puts a blanket around her shoulders and, like, runs out the door and closes the door too quickly and closes his tail on the door briefly.
Uh-huh.
It's a cute little scene. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that hitting the Western airwaves, well, Western Netflix, in early 2020.
Airwaves. What are we, in the fucking 30s? Are we listening to War of the Worlds?
Better go on the shortwave and talk on the telly so we can have some talkies about some werewolves that fuck bunnies. Ah, don't tell you, lads. That was brought to you by... I don't know. Shit. I was like, my bun be gone. Keep those bunnies off your dick for only $9.99.
Silk cock cage.
Yeah, exactly.
Bun be gone.
Protect yourself from the scourge of horny bunnies by putting your dick in a cage.
In the furry world, instead of horny singles in your area, it's horny bunnies are in your area.
Horny bunnies are in your area. Horny bunnies are 90 yards out, 30 yards out, 10 yards out. My God, they're in the vents!
That scene from Alien is now so different in my head.
Horny singles are in your area. Horny singles are closing fast.
We just need to remake Alien, but it's bunny, and they don't want to kill you. They just want to fuck you and drain all of your precious bodily fluids.
So, and another cool thing, so there has been discourse about non-trans artists making trans art and whatnot.
Oh.
There's a lot going on about that, and it relates back to, like, the artwork tee shirt stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to, like, gloss over that because I haven't paid a ton of attention other than, like, they seem to have been involved with some shady shit. Which is a damn shame because, like, no less than, like, a week or two ago, I was like, hey, they're doing a Kickstarter and they have some neat designs. And apparently they don't run their business very ethically, which is kind of a bummer because it's like, oh. Because, like, I have their transgender shirt and it's really cute and I like it. But if they're also not paying their artists, well, fuck, that's not good. Like, everybody I've dealt with from their company has been nice when I go to see them at cons. But also, if they're not running their business in an ethical manner, I don't want to deal with them, right? Especially in the furry business world.
There are a lot of allegations.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. But I do want to point out instead that Dio Task Devil, had herself a really good thread. Or it's like, hey, if you're a trans or non-binary artist, at me and I will retweet your shit. And they have gotten more than 100 replies at this point.
Wow.
Of trans and non-binary artists.
That's where all the trans artist tweets you've been posting are coming from.
Yeah, a lot of it where it's just like, also that one pic that I posted into the chat that was like the really cool like 90s ass wolf or whatever, that I was like, oh, this is really cool. Apparently she's on staff at Fiesta and I just don't know who they are. And I'm like, shit, I want to give you some money to make some art for me.
Oh, okay.
But their commissions aren't open right now because I did look. But there's a really good thread that I'll link in the show notes. It's just like Dio's list of big list of trans and non-binary artists that are like, hey, if you would like to support trans and non-binary artists, here's a big old list of people that are doing commissions or just have art. Pay attention to them. They do good shit. And there's some real bangers in the list. There's some newbie
what
artists.
What about MASH? Is there any MASH in the list?
Probably some mashing in there. But lots of bangers, lots of sausages. Breakfast sausages specifically. Get some brown beans on toast with an egg in the middle. Toad in the hole. Haggis, you know, whatever. The
toad
full
in the hole is a Michigan thing, apparently.
Is it? I don't know.
That's what Ajax said. Well, no, Ajax made them. But then again, I mean, it could be a British thing that he found out about. I don't know. Spotted dick.
Blood pudding. Giant scabs. Anyways.
Oh, God, it sounds awful when you put it like that.
Anyways, so it's a really good
thread. It's as good as it sounds.
That Dio has put together. She's retweeting a bunch of cool folks and talented artists and starting artists and people that are open for commissions. And I'll make sure to put a link in the show notes because I found it to be an extremely good thread full of artists that are starting out or artists that are established, artists in general. Check it out.
Will you put it in the show notes next to the Telegram link?
I will put it in the show notes next to the Telegram link. And we've gotten a few people to join us in the past little
you
bit.
You have, yes.
You know, a couple people join, a couple people bounce when we're like a little bit too political for them, I guess. But, you know, for the most part, we...
Or maybe not political enough. Maybe, ooh, like they were like, I thought I was joining a politics chat, but instead this is a bunny porn train.
Hey, there's a bit of both. And, like, Toxoglossia is just found the rat mines where they literally posted like 40 pieces from an art pack they never fucking released, and it was just this three by mice was the name of the thing. It's just three white mice in like every configuration possible. Fucking, it's really good.
Is that the dude from the 90s that drew the mice pictures? Or
is someone new. Though they do seem to have good politics. I follow them on Twitter, and they're extremely prolific. All the stuff they draw is always very happy. It's like them and Bramblefix, a number of artists that make sure that their porn is always happy and everyone looks like they're having fun. They just found this art pack on an external hard drive that they never released. It was like 40-something pics of these three mice that they designed fucking in every configuration. It was extremely good. But yeah, our fan chat's a bit of political bullshit and also pornography. So, you know, it's a bit of both, but like, hell, today we were talking about the bullshit of companies selling off nationalized assets in between.
Oh, because we talked about that on the last episode.
And like, I think Kishnev was talking about, because they're a Serbian, was talking about how their country is selling off a bunch of their natural resources to like fucking China mm-hmm. and shit, and how there was like this waterfront place that had a 1,000-plus-year-old tree that got cut down by developers and stuff like that. And then that merged into a topic of how, you know, selling off resources like Trump wanting to allow uranium mining in the Grand Canyon region that would poison the fucking Colorado River.
Oh, wow, I hadn't heard that. Fuck. I'm sure my father-in-law would have a lot to say about that.
Yeah. And how countries that try to nationalize their resources tend to get CIA'd. See Guatemala, Bolivia, right. Chile, Brazil to an extent, attempts in Venezuela, attempts in Cuba. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just in South America off the top of my head and not the rest of them, mm-hmm. not counting, you know, East Asia, South Asia, Central Asia, Africa. We haven't done anything in Europe in a while, as far as we know, but that's as far as I know. We haven't fought to Australia yet, but actually, no, we did in 1973. The CIA toppled the Australian government. Look that shit up. And you go, Jesus Christ, Severin, why do you know that shit? I'm like, I'm on the internet too much. Anyways, so I think at this point we're an hour and a half in, mm-hmm. and my watch is like, you're inebriated. You're throwing up high heart rate monitoring or high heart rate issues. And I'm like, well, fuck you. I'm drinking my Imperial Mexican Biscotti cake break and nearly done with it.
I actually smelled that when you exhaled towards me.
Woo!
Yeah, that is...
Toasty Vinick.
That's strong.
we're going to watch a movie, Fuzz.
Don't you mean we're going to watch a movie, Fuzz?
No, because I can still talk. Mm-hmm. And
I think you're talking better than you normally do.
Ooh, fresh pornography on Telegram. Yay. So we're going to wrap this episode up, and then we might be back later to talk about a movie for our Patreon stuff, or maybe not. I'm not going to make any promises, because we have been really, really bad about doing extra content, because we've just been fucking busy.
Yeah, lately it's been kind of a madhouse.
So what we're going to say instead, you can contact the show, southpawscast@gmail.com. If you like our show and want to support us for the cost of a Starbucks coffee a month, you go to southpawscast on patreon.com. Buck an episode goes a long way. It lets us do this bullshit for funsies. Mm. You can find us on Twitter @SouthPawsCast. You can send us anonymous messages, though I don't know if it even still works anymore, @southpawscast.tumblr.com. You still have to have a Tumblr account to send us anonymous messages, and who still has one of those?
Wow, I hadn't realized that, because I was literally going to say, I will test it by sending an anonymous message, and then I forgot. Then you said that. I was like, oh, yeah, I don't have a Tumblr account anymore.
Yeah, I deleted mine as well. So, I don't know. You can find me on Twitter.com @SaverinDrake. I tweet lots of video game bullshit, specifically Final Fantasy XIV, and also retweet a bunch of politics and the like. So, you have a 50-50 chance of me making jokes at Uriel Jay's expense, or...
Who?
He's a dude in Final Fantasy XIV.
Okay.
And
I was like, who? Is that a local fur? Do I know them?
No, he's an elf that intentionally speaks in an archaic bent to piss off people he doesn't like. And when he likes you, he speaks like a normal person.
Oh, God. It's like one of those guys that continually call women m'lady.
Yes, he is that kind of guy.
I bet he's a sword guy.
No, he's a Yu-Gi-Oh guy.
Okay.
He's a card. Anyways, Fuzz, where can people find your bullshit?
Apparently on Southpaws.
Yes.
Other than that, you can find me on Twitter @FuzzWolf. You go to FuzzWolf.com, and I've got links to all of my galleries and social medias there. And, of course, you can support the furry writing and art community by buying books and comics and magazines at FurPlanet.com and or BadDogBooks.com if you prefer your books digitally. We will be releasing about a dozen new titles for Midwest Fur Fest. My task this weekend is going to be adding a lot of the new stuff to the website, among other things. We will be doing a Black Friday and Cyber Monday event. I just need to figure out what I'm going to do with that and then get the word out on it. So that'll be next week. So you'll have heard this by then. So please keep an eye on the Fur Planet Twitter feed or Facebook. I'll post up some discount codes, put some other stuff on sale, and yeah. On the last note, I wanted to add something. So I put a new ebook on Bad Dog Books recently. And I'm not saying this is a Bad Dog Books promotion. You don't have to buy this from me. You actually buy it from the author directly. And then she keeps all the money. But I got this book and I put it on the website. I've ordered some print editions of it as well to bring to Furfest. But it's called Restless Town. It's by Madison Scott Clary, who is Macchio in the furry community. Has a very pretty cover by Cadmium Tea, and it is a collection of short stories that she has written. So speaking of supporting trans people, she is a trans author, and I've read two of the short stories so far while I was on the train going to work. They were both really good. The second one I liked so much I telegrammed her, and I was just like, I just read this story, and damn, I really, really enjoyed this. So you can go to Bad Dog Books and see it there, or just Google Restless Town by Madison Scott Clary. I think it's on Amazon. It's on Gumroad through her website. She's a really good writer, and I've really enjoyed what I've read so far, and wanted to give it a shout out. The ebook's only $5. So it's a good deal for some well-written furry stories that are quite trans-heavy. So, you know, if you're trans and you're looking for some more trans reputation in furry stories, this would be a good book to check out. And if you just want well-written furry stories, this is a good book to check out. So that's, I guess that's my furry product placement of the week. But it's just a new thing that I discovered and enjoyed, so I am sharing it with you. It's my one cool thing this week.
Cool. And I made sure to retweet that Rukus pic, because she posted it to Furfinity, but she also tweeted it.
Oh, okay, good.
So I made sure to retweet that shit.
I saw it on FA. I'll retweet it if I find it.
I'll drop that shit in the show chat.
Actually, I posted it there, too.
Yeah, you posted the image there. So, on that note, good night.
And big books.